So thankful for each of you that are in the house. Again, men, don't be in a hurry. Grab one of these gifts and a picture. It would just mean the world to me if I would have the opportunity to shake every man's hand in the room today and just bless you, look you in the eye, and tell you how much you mean to me. It is an honor to be among such strong men, such incredible leaders, such men who are passionate about the things of God and the things of this church. I said it last Sunday, but I'm just thankful to be a part of a church that has so many strong men. Amen. So many men that are getting stronger every week. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in this room. We celebrate manhood in this church. And I know that's almost become a cuss word in society today. And just being a man is considered toxic. No, no. Being a man is your God-called rightful place. You don't have to be unkind to anyone. You don't have to be rude to anyone. You don't have to control anyone. Just be who God called you to be, and the world will be a better place. Amen. So thank you for being with us today. Men get hungry, and I appreciate Jason and Scott today doing their best with an apple pie. Each one of those pies weighed over 2 pounds. So if you see them run out during the message, just pray for them. I wouldn't follow them if I were you, but just pray for them, and we'll trust that God will be their help. I've looked at the feat and the competition life of a man named Bob Shout. He was also known as Humble Bob or Notorious B.O.B. He is an American competitive eater from Pennsylvania. He holds a number of eating records, including the most food ever eaten by weight and or volume. That's a picture of Notorious B.O.B. He holds the record. He had 23.4 pounds of salmon chowder that he consumed in 6 minutes. In 6 minutes. We gave these guys about 3 minutes, and they did their best with a pie. Bob ate a 2.2 pound blueberry pie in 60 seconds. 60 seconds. He holds all of these records. He holds the record for the most food ever eaten in 4 hours. That was 59.6 pounds. That happened in June 2018. He holds the record for the most hot dogs ever eaten. 52 hot dogs in one setting. And they say that he's unique to other competitive eaters because he does not dip them in water. I don't know. I every now and then you'll see this kind of thing come across the television. I can't even watch it because there's something just so gross about it. They're dipping hot dogs in water, trying to get them to slide down. It's a mess. But Notorious B.O.B. does not use water, but ate 52 hot dogs. How about 39 Crystal Burgers in 2 minutes? 39 Crystal Burgers in 2 minutes. 95 Crystal Burgers in 8 minutes. I've never had a Crystal Burger in my life. I've got standards. I've never had one. But Bob ate 95 in 8 minutes. In 2017, he won the Wing Bowl. He had 409 wings. 409 wings, and he, to date, is the biggest prize winner, $50,000 he won in an eating contest, considered the greatest competitive eater, you know, ever, the many, many, many records. And what can I say? Men get hungry. Men get hungry. In fact, if men get hungry enough, they will find a way to eat. Doesn't matter if they are on a campsite. It doesn't matter if they are tailgating. It doesn't matter if wife and kids are out of town. A man will crack open a can of beans and make a meal out of it. And I dare say that men are nearly experts at fending for themselves. Of course, they would rather have company. They would rather have someone cooking for them and making sure that they have everything that they need. But trust me, if everyone is gone, your man will find a way to make sure that he does not go hungry. And so I ask the same question that we've asked each week of this series, and we're closing out this hunger series today, but each week I've asked you, what are you hungry for? And specifically, I want to ask the men of the church, Covington. I want to ask the men that are in this room, the men that are joining us online, what are you hungry for? And I get it, that question is probing. That question is personal. And the answer is not the same for every man. Sure, there are some things that are common to a man's nature. There are some things that are specific to just the maleness of a man. But that answer, what are you hungry for? It's not the same for every man, because each of us are at different stages of life and we may have unique needs depending on the season that we are in, and that is totally okay. What's important for you to know is to know that you are not alone, because every man has appetites and every man has cravings and every man hungers after something. It just is determined. How great our life is going to become is determined by how we satisfy those appetites, what we do with those cravings. And I've felt the Lord and I've heard the word trying to steer us and guide us and to establish boundaries in our lives these last few weeks as the Lord has walked us through this teaching series. And if you'll give me just a few minutes today, I know you've got plans, and hopefully, men, you'll get to put your feet up today and everyone celebrate you and love on you. But if you'll give me just a few minutes, we'll talk our way through this. I want to go to John 21 today, and I'm just gonna live here for just the time that I have remaining. John 21, I want to cook with Jesus a little bit today. I want to see what Jesus does with a fire and some food. John 21 and verse 1, the Bible said, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. So this is post cross. This is beyond resurrection. This is a time in the disciples' lives. This is a time in the lives of these men who have been very focused for 3.5 years. They have just been on point, just laser-like in their intensity for 3.5 years. But suddenly every norm that they were used to for those 3.5 years has changed. Everything that they have known, every routine that they've had, everything predictable, everything scheduled, everything certain in their lives has changed. And to be honest with you, it is flipped upside down, because regardless of how Jesus tried to prepare them, regardless of how I try to prepare you, sometimes life will do that to us. Sometimes life will come at us so fast. Sometimes things happen in such a way that it leaves us shell-shocked. It leaves us just completely dazed or punch drunk. It leaves us wondering, wait a minute. Everything just changed and I was not expecting this. Doesn't matter how adventurous your man is. It doesn't matter how messy he is. It doesn't matter how perhaps disorganized the tools in his shed are. Every man craves same. Every man craves routine. And the enemy will capitalize on the unexpected shifts in life to leave you feeling like your feet have been knocked out from under you and your future is so bleak and your days ahead are so disoriented that it causes you to go get in a corner somewhere and just suck your thumb like you did when you were a child and just sort of give up. But I'm here to speak to every man in this room. I'm here to speak to every father in this room that whatever the enemy tried to do and whatever the enemy planned to do, it has not worked and it will not work. We may be dazed for a day. We may have a week that we're not quite sure what's going on, but if we can get our wits about us, if we can get back in the presence of the Lord, we know we can put a plan together and everything will turn out according to God's will in our lives. I wish I had a man to just say yes. And so verse number two said that several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter is there. Thomas is there. Nathanael is there. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, are there. And then there were two other disciples there as well. There is a brotherhood. There is a crew. There is a huddle. These are my ride or die friends. These are my thick or thin friends. These are my dudes that I roll with. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what life does to us. Somehow we stick together. We're not all facing the same thing, but we're all facing something, and we're facing it together. Let me encourage every man in this room to get you a crew, get you a huddle, get you a brotherhood, get you some friends that you can be accountable to and that you can walk with and that you can do life with. Every now and then you just need to go to the game with the guys. I know the women are prettier. I know they smell better. I know they're much more entertaining, but every now and then you just need to get together with the fellas so that you can talk about the unique things of life. And all of these men are there. And verse 3, Peter says, you know what? I'm going fishing. This verse has always intrigued me because I'm not sure exactly what is in Peter's head. I'm not sure exactly what emotion he is feeling in this moment. And obviously there are several directions that we can go from here. There are a number of things we can assume, perhaps. I think Peter is reeling. I think Peter is very dazed. I think Peter is punch drunk. You know, Peter, he's had a rough few days. He was right there in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came for Jesus. Peter was swinging on some soldiers. Peter was pulling knives out and cutting the ears off of the enemy. Peter is right there in the fight. And then Peter is following close to watch and see what they're going to do with Jesus. He's wanting to run in and defend him, but he realized he is outnumbered and he is outmanned. And in fact, Jesus has even rebuked him and told him to back off, because this is the will of the Father and this is the plan and this is what I am supposed to be doing. So Peter is hiding behind trees, and there's this girl that recognizes him, and Peter just cusses her out, trying to prove that he's not with Jesus. And she said, "You don't even cuss right. I hear the words you're using, but you sound like church. I hear what you're saying, but you sound like Jesus." So Peter is a mess. He's a mess. I don't know if Peter's trying to go back to his old life because he came from fishing. I don't know if they've just been living this chaotic schedule, and so Peter is looking for just a day of rest, just a day of disconnect. I don't know. Is Peter trying to go back to the first place that he ever encountered the Lord? Is he trying to recreate a first moment with Jesus? I don't know. Maybe Peter is just trying to clear his head. But what I do know is that Peter represents the man who needs space at times. Peter represents the man that does not have to be in constant conversation. He represents the man that just needs time to be in his thoughts. I am convinced that a man left alone to think will eventually figure it out, because it is in his nature. It is in the unique makeup of maleness and manhood. God put it in him to devise plans and to create and to figure it out. And if he can just have time to think, if he can just have time to sit for a moment without distraction, eventually he is going to come up with a plan to get them out of the situation that they're in. If you just give me enough time to think, I'm going to figure out a way to get through this financial stress. If you'll give me time to think, I'll figure out a way to know what to do with these kids. Just let me think. And Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing because maybe, just maybe, I need time to think." And his other guys said, "Well, we're coming too." So they went out in the boat. They got everything that they needed. They packed up the vessel. They launch out. But the Bible said that they caught nothing all night. They caught nothing. And as hard as that reads, as difficult as it is to process fishing all night but catching nothing, I want you to see how ordinary life can be sometimes. Because sometimes, man, you just keep doing the thing, but the thing does not seem to pay you. Sometimes you just stay focused and stay faithful and you just stay in the routine, but it seems like the routine is not rewarding you. They fished all night, but they've caught nothing. These are men whose lives are flipped upside down. Their norms are no more. And they're trying to find escape plans and emergency plans. What is your escape plan when life gets crazy? If we were all honest, every man in this room has thought about taking out the trash, leaving the can at the curb, and just keep walking to where we don't know. Why? We're not sure. But every man has felt the feeling. Y'all real quiet, leaving me up here by myself. That's all right. I'm a big boy, I can handle it. I wouldn't walk very far, I promise you, but what is your escape plan. How do you react when things get crazy? How do you react when life isn't working? When you're fishing but not catching? When you're casting but nothing is coming back to you? When you're being kind but it's not being rewarded? When you're doing your very best but nothing seems to be happening in your life? Whatever their plan was, it was not working. The Bible said they caught nothing all night. Nothing is frustrating. I don't know anything more frustrating than nothing. I know there are fishermen in this room. We've got a lot of fishermen in the room, and I know you will tell me you're probably just trying to make me feel better or make yourselves feel better, but sometimes you'll tell me that you were out all night and you didn't catch anything, but you're still so glad that you went out. I don't think that way. I don't understand loading up all of the equipment, driving all of that time, and just being out there all night long. I mean, if we're going to put the work in, let's at least get something out of it. If it's nothing but a perch minnow, if it's nothing but I caught a stick, I caught something. I need to catch something. Otherwise, I feel like a failure. Otherwise, I feel like I need to go back to fishing school and figure this out because I don't have the right bait. Something is amiss. Something is not right. Nothing is frustrating. It's frustrating. There are men in this room that may feel frustrated because you're casting and not catching, because you're laboring, but it feels like things are not coming back to you in your life. And this is the enemy's playground. This is where the enemy loves to work. This is where the enemy loves to mess with our minds, because we get to a certain age and we start thinking, wait a minute, I should have accomplished so much more by now. I shouldn't have these same struggles all these many years later. I've been going to church and I'm still wrestling with that. I'm still struggling with that. I've still got these crazy appetites. Listen, as long as you're alive, you'll have some of those appetites. You just got to decide, am I going to eat at the convenience store or am I going to eat at the table where the healthy, nourishing food is available? What are you hungry for? So that's the scene. That's the scene. So now let's cook with Jesus. Because verse 4 says that at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. As the sun is coming up, another day is beginning, and there is Jesus. I don't have a lot of time today, but hopefully I've got enough time to just tell you that a new day in your life, the dawn of a new day, is the dawn of new mercies. The sun coming up, another day in your life, is another opportunity to get it right. Another opportunity to put it back together. Another opportunity to do your very best. I love Lamentations 3 and 23. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies began afresh each morning. If you woke up this morning, you had brand new mercy in your account. Yesterday may have been a bust. Last week may have been more failure than it was fantastic. But here I've got a belt. They're seeing him, but they're not realizing it is him. They see someone there kind of waving them, calling to them, but they're not sure who that is. Their lives have gone in such a direction that they're not quite sure who to trust at this point. They watch Jesus taken from them, crucified, and the threat is that all of them are next. And so they see someone flagging them down, and I don't know if I want to get any closer. I don't know if I want to get nearer to where he is. And hear me, this is us all too often. We see him just in the distance, but we're unsure because we're just far enough away. Our answer is close. Our help is near. It's just a little, we're just a little ways from our miracle, but we're still uncertain. And so Jesus calls out, "Hey, fellas, have you caught any fish? Tell me how it's going. Tell me how the night has been. Are you a success? Are you the man? Tell me how it's going. Have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. I don't know if you know this, but fishermen lie. These guys didn't. It's a common trick. If you catch a small fish, you hold it closer to the camera and it looks bigger. And then you post it and everyone thinks, "Man, they caught a 5-pounder. No, it's about 5 ounces. It's just got a zoom on it. Fishermen lie. These men didn't lie. Men get a bad rap for not talking. No, men talk when we feel safe. Men talk when we trust that our momentary struggle will not be used against us. Men are not silent. Men talk. I realize, sir, someone hurt you. I realize someone did you wrong. I realize someone let you down. But you need to hear me. God will not fail you. There may have been someone in your life who represented God, who let you down, but that was not God. Oh, I'm preaching better. You got to realize who you're working with and who you're dealing with, because he is not going to let us down. And if we will get honest before the Lord, because the truth is we gain nothing and we get nowhere by not casting our cares on him. If given the opportunity to pour it out, I may have to get in a room all by myself where I can just holler loud. I may have to get somewhere all by myself because I don't trust anyone to hear the real honesty of my soul. And if that's what it requires initially, man, do that. If you need to go for that walk and just be by yourself for a little while to say, "Lord, there's some things I need to talk to you about. There's some things I need to get straight. There's some things I need to say. There's just some things I need to work through." I promise you, God can handle that. Get honest before the Lord. Go ahead and cast your cares on him. "Hey, have you caught anything?" "No, we've not caught anything." To be honest with you, we're frustrated about it. We're aggravated about it. We're feeling like more of a failure. This is just one more thing to add to the list. And so Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." They're still not sure who this is. They don't know who this is. They've not recognized him. No one has sensed anything spiritual going on. But they are desperate and they are hungry and they have a craving and they have an appetite and they're willing to obey. They're willing to follow instruction. It's hard to believe that they had not fished both sides of the boat, and I presume they had. When the fish are not biting, what do? You shift the vessel, you move around, you troll to another area, you switch up the bait, you try everything you know to do. These are career fishermen. They've tried everything they know to try, but now this man up on the beach said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. I want you to hear me, men. I'm about done. Honesty brings healing. Honesty brings healing. Wait a minute. You're messing with me now because, you know, my daddy taught me to be tough and to keep that exterior and to keep, you know, just that fake it till you make it. And don't let anyone see you sweat. And that's just the way I've lived my life. And now you're telling me to wear my feelings on my sleeve. No. I'm not trying to encourage you to express weakness. I'm not talking about you crying on the job tomorrow. I'm not talking about you, just becoming this sappy, effeminate man, if I can say that and not be offensive. No, you can be strong, and you can keep a strength about you. But listen, when you are honest, when you are open, when you are in the presence of the Lord, when you're in the presence of true brothers, letting that guard down to say, wait a minute, I could have said, oh, we got enough, we're fine, man, don't worry about us. I'm good. Don't worry. Hey, you have a good day. We good. No, honesty. Honesty brings healing. And that openness brings a reward. These are experienced fishermen, but he is proving himself. Jesus is proving himself the creator of the fish. I wonder how many men in this room need a creative miracle in your life. You need restoration in your life. You need grace in your life. You need healing in your life. Maybe you need supernatural rest for your soul. Do you realize that your breakthrough and mine could be as close as the other side of the boat? My miracle could be just as close as moving my net from one side to the other, from stopping this and starting that, from just making one small adjustment in my life, just making one minor calculation in my life. I could go from nothing to nets that are breaking in abundance. Then the disciple, verse 7, the disciple Jesus loved, this is John writing, John is speaking of himself. He said to Peter, it took me a minute, I wasn't quite sure, but Peter, that's the Lord. We've been with him long enough, we've seen him do enough miracles that I know, it took me a minute to recognize his voice with all of the howling wind and all of the doubt that's tried to consume our lives. But Peter, that is the Lord. You know what you need? You need a friend in your life that can see Jesus when you can't. You need a friend in your life that can hear from God when you can't hear anything. You need somebody up when you're down. You need somebody in when you're on the outs. Come on, man, don't do this alone. Get somebody near you. Get somebody by you. Get somebody close to you that can see Jesus. Until when? Until you can see him for yourself. until you get his word so hidden in your heart that your life is completely converted and changed and moved by the power of his spirit. I want to learn the language. I want to learn the tone. I want to hear the different inflections of his word, of miracles, of purpose. Peter put his shirt back on. That's what the Bible said in verse 7. He put his tunic. He had taken it off while he was fishing. He jumped into the water and headed to the shore. You want to know what I believe? I fully believe that when Peter jumped in that water, he thought he would walk on it again. Because you remember it was Peter that walked on the water with Jesus. And he jumped into the water. Restoration was so powerful. The miraculous was so moving. When he saw that it was Jesus, when he recognized that it was Jesus, no, I'm not missing this moment. I'm not missing this opportunity. I want to get to him as fast as I possibly can. The other stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore. Just about 100 yards. Don't forget the fish. Don't take your blessings with you as well. Somebody bring this net. And I want every hungry man to hear me today. When they got to the shore, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over charcoal fire and some bread. Verse 10, Bring some of the fish you've just caught. Jesus said, bring some of that out of your boat. Bring some of that out of the net. I know what you've got because I gave it to you. Oh no, Lord, I don't have any money. And he's saying, no, I know what I gave you. I know what I blessed you with. I know what I provided in your life. You see, men are not into charity. If you loan to a man, it's coming back. It's coming back clean. Generally, it's coming back in better shape than you loaned it out. If you borrow, it's coming back on time. He said, bring some fish, fellas. I've made some, but we're about to eat. We're about to feast. We're about to enjoy breakfast. And I want you to be a part of this meal. I don't want to just provide for you. I want to give you the opportunity to contribute to your own nourishing. We almost have this mindset in society today that says, what are you going to give me? What are you going to put in my hand? What are you going to provide for me? It's a consuming attitude and not a contributing attitude. I thank God that there are men in this room that want to contribute and not just consume. They're happy to receive, but they want to give as well. They want to invest. Not just takers, they are investors and they own the experience. They own it. So Simon Peter went back onto the boat and dragged the net to the shore. And I love John giving this detail. He said there were 153 large fish. And yet the net hadn't torn. I don't know what the net rating was. I don't know how many it could hold or how much weight it could handle, but there were 153 fish. That's a great day. And it wasn't even a day on the water. It was a moment. It was dropping the net one time and coming up with a haul and a blessing. The men, they seemed shocked that the nets didn't break. tells me they had not planned to ever catch that many fish at one time. And I felt the Lord very specifically ask me to ask every man in this room today and every man online with us, what is your capacity for blessing? They were surprised their nets hadn't broken. They were shocked that their nets could hold that many. I don't want you to be shocked. I don't want you to be surprised. Woody, I don't want you to be shocked at how large the contracts. I feel that so strong. I feel it so strong to tell you. I ain't talked to you. I don't know what business has been like. I know you usually stay busy, but I just felt the Lord say that it was going to another level. What is your capacity for blessing? How much have you prepared for God to do in your life? Can I prophesy to every man in this room? Get bigger nets. Get bigger nets. Hey, come, let's have some breakfast, Jesus said in verse 12. None of the disciples, I love this, dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord, because it was unmistakable, Jesus. I'm looking for the things in my life that only he can do. If everything in my life is explainable, then something is missing. I need some unexplainable in my life. I need some supernatural in my life. The things that can be credited to no one else had to be God. Then Jesus, verse 13, served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Third time. It sounds like a pattern. Sounds like their new normal. I'm just going to keep showing up in your life. I'm going to keep showing up and blessing you and making a way for you. Providing. Giving you wisdom. I don't know if Peter was running. I don't know if Peter was ashamed. I don't know what was happening with Peter. But what I know for certain is that Jesus was not finished with him. And you know what? He's not finished with you either. It's his new pattern in your life. Showing up, coming to where you are, and making himself known. Father, I pray for every man in this room. I know there's wonderful ladies and incredible students and kids on campus, but I selfishly today focus on a prayer for men. That on this Father's Day, Lord, you would show yourself to us. For every man who feels like he's missed it. For every man who has been through the trial, been through the storm, been through the divorce, been through the mistake, been through the darkness. Feels like because he made mistakes that can never get it back together. To the man who spends way too much time looking back than he does looking ahead. Today, Lord, we take hold of new nets. Today, we get our hands around new nets. Starting today, Lord, we're going to do things differently. We've been fishing and eating and trying to fill ourselves on the wrong side of this boat. Today we're going to the right side, the side that you directed us to, the side that you spoke to us about on Father's Day 2023. Today I'm dropping this net and I'm pulling up your blessing and your abundance and your strength. Pulling up the miraculous. I'm pulling up the supernatural. I'm pulling up forgiveness. I'm pulling up restoration. I'm pulling up healing of mind and body and soul and spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I wish every man would say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I will make room for you to do
whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
To go, and we're going, but I'm belaboring the point for just a moment because men are always in a hurry. Service is ended now. I gotta light the grill. I gotta get the family together. I've gotta check the kids out. I gotta go see Dad. I gotta run. I gotta go. And we miss the miracle of a moment. Dad, let's play ball. Just rest in his presence for just a moment. Just rest in his presence for just a moment. If you got a need in your body, I speak healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I pray for men. I pray for women. I pray for people in this room today that just need a moment. Just need a moment. They're gonna sing it one more time. If you gotta go, God bless you. I'd love to meet you in our main lobby in just a moment. But I'm making room for Jesus.
Oh,
I will make room. Yes, I will. Oh,
to do whatever you want.
I will make room
for you. is better.